Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. You guys were amazing. It just kept getting sweeter and sweeter and better and better. And everybody doing good? Four people. I'm at the right place. You know, I am honored to be with you. We've had just a great week. We began a week ago on Thursday night in Auckland at the Disciple Makers Conference. And that all the way till Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, I was with my dear friends Eddie Quipper, Sam, and Kathy Monk last night and Tuesday. And here in your lovely city, and there's just so many cool things happening. For about 35 years ago, I kind of reformed a friendship with one of these people. Was a childhood acquaintance and friend, and now they've just become dear friends, Pastor David and Linda Dishroom from Turning Point here in your Change Point. I was going to blame jet lag, but that was a week ago. Can't get jet lag for an hour trip. When I was a little boy, the house I grew up in was kind of loud and not always safe and violent. And I saw in Linda's mom and dad, who are still alive, just lovely people, an example of a godly marriage. And it just imprinted on my mind. I'm going to have a marriage like that someday, a family like that. And John and Rita Wilmoth are just wonderful people. And I think they're both going to live to be 110, apparently. Possibly. Yeah, just awesome. And other pastors, if you're a pastor and you're here tonight, would you wave your hand? We want to welcome all the other pastors that are here. Thank you, guys. Thank you. It wasn't a test. They're like, I want to share something. I've felt this theme all both at home, but really here for your beautiful country. This is my 26th trip to your country, and I took 4 years off during COVID. But I, of all the places of the world where God would allow me to have a continual presence, He gave me your beautiful country. So I'm deeply honored, and I finally figured out why. Pastor David helped me figure out why last time I talked with him about this, that God kind of put things together for me. But it is such a great honor, and just some of the greatest Christians I know are in New Zealand, greatest churches, greatest people. And on this trip, I was able to bring my two oldest grandchildren, which are the boy Miles is 18 and the girl Isabella is 17, and they're both graduating from high school in May, and so I wanted to bless them for a graduation present. So I brought them here, and we were able to show them parts of your country, not as much as I would have liked to, but we went to Waiheke Island on Monday after our morning ministry time, and then we went to the tower, the Sky Tower, and my grandson wanted a bungee off. And I said, son, your mother would never forgive me. And so I had to veto that. And we went to the beach that starts with a P. I always forget the name of it. Piha. They went to that beach and just had a great time. And then they were able to worship God with the body of Christ here and spend time with believers. So that was just really special. So just for a few moments, I want to speak on this topic, and then I want to pray for you and as much as God lets us do in a few moments. And I just believe tonight's a miracle night. I just believe that anything's possible. And especially, you know, something really, it really is important to God when churches intermingle, climb over each other's walls and gather together. There's a special grace on those moments, and it's definitely here tonight. So I can't wait to share that with you. Before I open the word, let me share something humorous. Heard about this young mother who was driving home from church. She was talking to her young daughter and asked her how Sunday's school went. And the little girl said, "Well, Mommy, today we learned how God made men and women." And the mother said, "Well, that's so interesting. Well, how did he do it?" And the little girl said, "Well, here's what happened. God reached down and grabbed a handful of dirt and made a man. Then he put him to sleep, took out his brains, and made a woman." That's what Pastor Ilona told me the Bible says. So I said, Genesis chapter 2 or something. In the book of Psalms, I hope there's 150 Psalms, and they're all like mini books. Each one is a unique and distinct and beautiful, not just expression of Scripture, but it's a poem, it's a song, a book of songs, and a revelation of so much. And one of the really interesting dynamics of the Psalms is the emotional honesty of the writers. You know, David wrote about half of them, the other writers equally honest. And that is so healthy. You know, the Bible never hides people's humanity from us. The Bible allows us to see their weaknesses, their mistakes, their sins, their fears. So we would know that God doesn't choose great people to do great things. God chooses people because he's a great God. And the great things that happen are because of who he is. And David becomes kind of brutally honest. He says, "God, I love you so much. You're wonderful. Your mercy is everlasting. Please kill all my enemies." And just pouring out his heart over and over. But Psalm 42 is just a beautiful scripture for us. Verse 1 says, "As the deer pants, longs, thirst for the water brook, so longs my soul for you, O God." Can you just feel that tonight as we are worshiping? Did you just feel your soul just longing for God? "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God?" And so back in antiquity, they would, of course, three times a year gather in Jerusalem for their high feasts and festivals. "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God?" Ever had a friend like that? That when you're down, they remind you of the things you said God was going to do that he hasn't done yet. "I thought you said God was going to heal you or help you or break, you know, help your marriage or help your family. When I remember all these things, I pour out my soul within me. I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. The multitude that kept the pilgrim's feast." Now here's my whole message. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Now he's talking to himself. This is the inner dialogue of a transparent person talking about the real wrestlings of life are in the soul. And they happen and when our thoughts collide. And why are you disquieted? The word cast down in Hebrew just means why are you depressed? Why are you depressed, my soul? Why are you disquieted? Why are you warring? Hope in God. Tonight you're healing. You get to hear from a hope dealer. Hope in God. "I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance." In the Hebrew, that last sentence just literally reads, "His presence brings salvation." "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hills Mizmar. Deep calls to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves, billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock." Jesus quotes this, "Why have you forsaken me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. I will yet praise him for the help of my countenance and my God. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing of your spirit. Thank you for your love for these beautiful people. Anoint your word, anoint your people, anoint your servant. Show the devil who is boss. Let freedom and healing flow like a river. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a couple simple points. Number one is we have never seen the mental health levels that we see now in not just America, but in the world. There are more depressed people percentage-wise than we've ever seen, more people with high anxiety, more people with genuine controlling phobias, fears. People are suffering, and they're suffering in their thought life, in their souls, in their emotions. At some point in life, point number one, we all will face the monster of depression. Everyone does because we're human. Because of the pandemic and other troubling global issues, local issues, personal issues, we are witnessing a huge spike that people are experiencing depression. So that's just a true reality. And in America, 25% of, this was I think for 2021, 25% of high school students acknowledged suicidal ideation, that they had contemplated suicide. 9% attempted a suicide. 9%. That is 10 times normal. Maybe not quite, but 7 times. It's way high. So we are experiencing, it's not just a few people, it's all kinds of people that are walking around hurting. So depression is pain, it's suffering, it's misery. Depression comes when people are hopeless. Depression is when negative thoughts rule over your soul. Depression's your enemy, not your friend. Anyone can be healed from depression. Anyone can overcome depression. It's not God's will for your life. It's like living in a house with all the lights off and all the windows and blinds covered. It's total darkness. It invites demonic activity. So I just announced tonight, this is a depression-free zone. I declare over this city, depression's leaving your city. Your schools, your grade schools, your high schools, your universities, your businesses, your churches, your neighborhood, your family. And so just a couple of points. Number one, David, the writer, says this a couple of times. I've learned the secret to begin my healing journey, and that's to give it all to Jesus. I pour out my soul. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. There was so much healing when we get rid of our secrets. Secrets make you sick. You're only as sick as your secrets. And so there's so much value in this because here's something I found out, and I believe it's biblically supportable, that our soul is only as healthy as we are honest. And the healthier we become is because we are finally being transparent. The more honest I become, the more healthy my world will be. And so in the church, we don't ever want to get to the place where we're afraid of being honest, afraid of being vulnerable. James says, confess your weaknesses, your faults, one to each other. Why? 9/10 of the victory is in the acknowledgement, the confession. Once you bring it out in the open, it loses its power. It begins healing season. In 1995, I went through a tough season. And I was in a 2.5-year serious clinical suicidal depression. I know I was depressed. I was finishing my PhD in psychology. So I laid on my own couch and said, sir, you're very sick. I said, yes, sir. And so the Lord started giving me, you know, started dealing with the reasons. And The thing about life is, if you never want to get better, always blame someone else for your condition. Victims get attention, but they never get better. If you want to get better, you got to own it, even if someone else helped bring it. And so the Lord really dealt with me because I had never, the only people that knew I was really depressed was my beautiful wife, Mary, and my pastor, Lawrence Kennedy, and a counselor, three people in the whole world. But I was in I was drowning in the ocean and not doing well. And so the Lord taught me about honesty. He said, your problem is you don't want anyone to know you're imperfect. And he brought me to the story. There's a story in the Gospels when Christ came to the synagogue and there was a man with a withered hand. And his hand was atrophied and non-functioning. And everyone knew the guy outside of the temple. But at church, when he came to church, he would hide his hand in his garment. Everyone knew he had a problem, but he hid it at church. So Jesus comes to church and they all looked at Jesus to wonder if he would heal the guy and mess up their religious tradition. Jesus gets angry at their thoughts because they cared more about their stupid tradition than a hurting person. And he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. In other words, show everybody. And here's what the Lord, the moment he stretched it out, God healed it. Here's what God said to me. If you reveal it, Michael, I'll heal it. I came to the service in 1998 at Chaparral High School, and our church had dwindled from 5,000 to 140 people. I'll talk about how that happened. But anyways, I said to the church, I've been in a manic clinical suicidal depression 2.5 years. The moment I said it, it left the door. It left. It lost its grip on me. And so I love practicing honesty. I love living in this realm because it keeps me healthy. Honest with God. Pour out your soul to God. Talk to people. Talk to someone. When you're hurting, that's why cell groups and small groups and connect groups are so important, because you get to talk to people and pour out your life to them. Talk to your pastors. Talk to a counselor. Pour out your soul. Don't let the devil keep you isolated. In Philippians 4, Paul writes this. He said this, be anxious for nothing. That's kind of a bold statement. So anxiety is the fuel of depression. It always, there is always high anxiety in a depressed person. A person with high anxiety will always enter into depression. They're married together. And the Bible says, God says, don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What will happen? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your souls, your minds in Christ Jesus. When I give him my problems, he gives me his peace. And so we have this therapy of prayer to keep us healthy and out of the grip of anxiety, fear, and depression. Amen. Okay, next idea. He's talking to himself. He says this twice. It's repeated here. It's repeated almost verbatim in Psalm 43. But he says this. Why are you cast down? Why are you depressed? Why are you at war? And then he says this. He's talking to himself. Hope in God. Hope in God. So this is so powerful because the Bible elevates the importance of hope and tells us it's not just a casual visitor that we should have every now and then on Sundays or a couple of times a year. It's a resident requirement that we live in the beautiful environment, the greenhouse of hope. Hope is necessary for a healthy soul. And so he starts talking to himself and he says, you're going to hope again. I found out Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred, hope lost, hope stolen, hope taken makes your heart sick. But when desire comes, is a tree of life. In 1995, we were building our first building in our church called Eagle's Nest. And our church treasurer, it was a 4,800 seat auditorium. It was about 2/3 of the way up. Our church treasurer embezzled $20 million. It's a lot of money back then. It's a lot of money now. And it was a bad thing. We never got the money back. That guy went to prison. And it was front page news, the headlines of the paper, 10 times and 6 lawsuits, 15 concurrent attorneys at the same time, class action lawsuits, and just so many hits. Whenever they get, the hits kept coming. And our church dwindled from 5,000 on the weekends, from about 4,800 on the weekends to about 140. That's where we bottomed out. And I became depressed. And so I'm depressed. And when I did a forensics of my depression, I realized because I lost hope. I was 37 and thought my life was over. My oldest son at 12 years old became a drug addict for 8 years, an alcoholic and a drug addict. And we were homeless for 10 months. We had just one bad thing after another. So I got so depressed, I wrote a country western music album. And I listen, there's a couple good songs on that. I got to admit, if the Lord ever lets me, I'm going to eke them out. And so all that happened, and so, you know, I'm kind of digging into my life now. I'm kind of pushing in because I'm serious about this, you know, this PhD program I was in. And so, I realized that was a mess. But I realized at the bottom of the depth of my despair, the simple genesis of causation was I lost hope. See, hope is the oxygen of the human soul. We suffocate without it. When hope walks out, depression walks in. So in the New Testament, the word hope is elpis. English is how we spell it. And elpis means the joyful expectation of good for the future. So hope believes, Bible hope believes the best is yet to come. Now, for every person in this room, if you don't believe that, you need hope. The most hope filled people in Tauranga, in all of New Zealand, in America, should be us. Because we have Jesus. And so we want to be hope carriers. We want to have so much hope, we're contagious. We want to have so much hope, we irritate unhappy people. So hope gives you joy for no reason except the promise of God. The joyful expectation of good. And so it's essential to our health. I tell my church this, you know your heart is healthy when it dreams again. If you're not dreaming about your future, your dream factory is broken. God wants to fix it. Peter said this, he quotes Joel, but he said this, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit, says God, on all flesh. Your sons and daughters prophesy, your young men see vision, your old fellas dream dreams. What does that mean? As long as you're alive, there's destiny, there's purpose, there's meaning, there's hope. You're never too old for a new dream. Come on, I want to come back here in 30 years when I'm your parents' age and hit this pulpit at 96. And I'm going to say, this is going to be the best year in my life. And never live without hope, because I know what it's like to live without hope. I know what it's like. Hey, just a couple of verses. Romans 5:5 says this, hope does not disappoint. What a bold statement. No one who's hoped in God has ever regretted it. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hope is easy to the loved heart. It's impossible to believe that God is good and then not to expect to see his goodness come into our world. That's what hope does. Well, how can we have hope? I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know when. I don't know who, where. I just know it's going to be okay. In Romans 15:13, this is one of my favorite verses because it's a declaration. It's really a prayer. And Paul, the Holy Spirit, says to Paul, now may the God of hope, he says, here's where hope comes from. It comes from God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. What does hope bring? Joy and peace. What does hope need me to do? Believe. And that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you get your hope back. Hope in God, my dear friends. The best is yet to come. It's breaks my heart to think of young people being hopeless. It used to be you had to get my age to be hopeless. We would call it, talk about middle age syndromes and crises and events. But now young people, because of the culture, because of the media, because of the attack of the enemy, have been deprived of hope. Oxygen has been taken out of their lungs. And they're not thriving until they come to Jesus. I'm getting my hope back for my family, for my business. Come on, I got my hope back before I got anything else back. I had hope when things still looked bad. I had hope when my son was still a drug addict. I had hope when our church was still struggling to survive. I had hope. Hope came first, then everything changed. Everything changed. I'll just tell you this little story. My son, Matthew, he was 12 years old when all this happened. And just imagine losing all your friends. A church scandal is the worst thing that can happen. And we're homeless. And he was really good in sports, really good in basketball, even at that age. But anyways, he starts self-medicating with marijuana. And then in a couple of years, his wealthy friends in Arizona introduced him to cocaine. And that, I think that became his drug of choice. A couple of times when I finally awoke to what was going on in his life, we put him in rehab a few times. Didn't work because he wasn't ready. You can't help an addict who's not ready to be free, even though your heart longs to. And so after 8 years, as soon as he could, he moved out of the house, and he's now running the streets, and the police are knocking, banging on my door, wanting to arrest my son. Drug dealers drove past our house with guns, machine guns, out the window. As threats out their doors, sending us a little threat, looking for our son to kill him. And after 8 years of that, I just lay in his bed at night where he didn't sleep anymore, and I would pray, Jesus, don't let Matthew die tonight. All hope lost, just praying for mercy. So I'm coming out of that room, really covered in tears one night, and Jesus jumped me in the hallway. I tell people, watch out for the hallway, Jesus jump you. And in the hallway, he said this sentence, I mean powerfully, don't pray the problem, pray the promise. And the Lord reminded me of all the awesome prophetic words and promises God gave us for our son from the day he was born. I ran and told my wife, I said, honey, we have to change the way we talk and pray about Matthew. I prayed for 8 years, nothing happened. When I changed my vocabulary and I inserted hope, faith, and prophetic words, about 8 weeks after doing that, Matthew was playing university basketball, and he wanted to date a cheerleader. He hadn't been in the church in years, maybe 3 or 4 years. And the girl on the university cheerleading squad was a Christian. She said, I'll only date you if you come to church. So praise God for all the beautiful single women here at C3 in your church who tell all the guys, I'll only date you if you come to church. Get saved, water baptism, all your demons cast out, and the pastor says you're okay, then I'll maybe date you. And he's sitting in the back row, I think it's Sunday night or Wednesday night, he's sitting in the back row, and he's got a total attitude, you know, arms crossed, head cocked. And it's not just he's backslidden, he's a preacher's kid. Preacher's kids already know every sermon that's going to be set up here. My dad preached it better than you. And he's back there. But the problem was there was a man of God that night. And he said, there's someone here running from God with a broken heart, fighting addiction. Your family's been through trauma. The moment he had that word of knowledge, my son in the back row fell on the floor, shook violently for almost an hour, 45 minutes. When he got up, he was completely set free from cocaine addiction and alcoholism. Completely set free. No rehab, no slow, just like that. Came home, went to Bible college, went to Haiti for a year as a missionary. I don't know how saved you are, but you probably ain't that saved. And now he and his wife are the executive pastors of our church. Jesus did all that when I got hope back in my heart for my son. I changed what I said about him, prayed about him. Man, God, this last point. David said this, I will yet praise him. He said this, this struggle is not going to stop my praise. So I want to hit this because a couple of things helped me. One of the things I noticed in my tough season was I became ungrateful. Now, I had a lot of nonsense going on. I mean, tough things all the time. And they outweighed the good things, at least in my mind, in my inner dialogue. And so when the Lord said, you know, one of the ways you'll get better is just to be grateful. And it's amazing because your worst day as a Christian is still better than your best day as a non-Christian. And so he said this, I'm going to teach you, Michael, how to be grateful. Practice the attitude of gratitude. David said this in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Remember. See, in the neurology of your mind, how your brain works, how your memory works is your negative memories have a much more prominent standing. They're easier to retain. They're more powerful in your memory, in your conscious memory. And so that's why the Bible tells us over and over again, remember. Do the discipline of reminding yourself. And forget not all his benefits. See, number one, who forgives all your iniquities? Well, that's it. My sins are forgiven. If everything else in life fell apart, having my sins forgiven gives me eternal gratitude to God. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm embraced. I'm blessed. I'm a child of God who heals all your diseases. Wow, it's getting better. Who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you, your thought life, with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so your youth is renewed like an eagle. You can't be a strong believer as long as you have a weak vocabulary. So I began to wake up every day. I do it today. Thank you, God, for salvation. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I was 6 years old. I was a wretched first grade sinner. And there was a saved Sunday school teacher at Abiding Savior Lutheran Church, Maddie Linval. She made Jesus so real to me. I got saved when I was six. I'm still saved at 66. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for the baptism of your spirit. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for acceptance. Thank you for the gift of righteousness. Thank you for abundance of grace. Thank you for your word and your spirit, your church and your kingdom. Thank you for destiny. Thank you for second chances. Thank you for my family. Thank you. And by the time I'm done being grateful, I'm happy. The secret to happiness is being grateful. It's not that happy people are grateful. It's the opposite. Grateful people are always happy people. Because they drown the misery of their disappointments in the ocean of their gratitude. I've got so much to be grateful for. Now we think about really the New Testament or the biblical word for gratitude is the word thanksgiving. Really means the same thing. Giving thanks to God, being grateful to God. A little story and then I'll pray for you. In Luke 17, Jesus has 10 lepers approach him. And from a great way off, they said, Jesus, please pray for us. Help us, heal us. They could, you know, leprosy, contagious, and they couldn't come close. And so Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, faith is acting on God's word. As they went, they were healed. All 10. Well, one of the fellows, knowing he was healed, turned around with a loud voice and came back to Jesus, said, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. One out of 10. And so Jesus said, where are the nine? Weren't 10 of you healed? So he's making a lesson to his disciples about human ingratitude, human entitlement. And he said, how come none have come back to give thanks except for this Gentile? So maybe the other nine guys were Jewish. They were covenant Abraham sons. And here comes the Gentile, or we would say the non-church guy. And he says, Jesus, I'm so grateful. And Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Gratitude is an act of faith. And God loves to give you more of everything you're grateful for. When we're grateful, thank you, God. Thank you. One of the lessons I've learned, because I lost everything, I'm grateful for anything. I pray you never have to go through anything with what I went through. You can be grateful just by applying the discipline of it. At the restaurant, I always tell the waiter or waitress, thank you for filling my water, for the smallest thing. I'm grateful for everything. I make myself be grateful. And it stops me from being self-absorbed and selfish. No, thank you, God. Thank you for this. I remember I had a... I was complaining to the Lord about our parking lot at the church. So the Lord gave us a $40 million building for free, by the way, like 13 years ago. Everything I lost, God gave back to me. And so I was complaining about the parking lot. I called it the Grand Canyon. There were holes in our parking lot where small cars disappeared. What happened? It's gone. That car's gone. And so I'm complaining about it. And the Lord kind of rebuked me. He says, you know, why don't you just be grateful? I said, Lord, you're right. Thank you. I have a parking lot. I have a church. Thank you for that. The very next week, when the first time I gave thanks to God for that parking lot with some challenges, the very next week, a lady says, that parking lot's bothering me. Here's a check. Please fix it. It's amazing. Here's what we know about worship. Worship heals. The faster we worship, the faster we heal. If the devil can't stop your worship, he can't steal your breakthrough. Worship changes the atmosphere. Gratitude changes the atmosphere. Worship takes you places you don't deserve to be and gives you things you don't deserve to have. Man, when the whole shebang changes when a grateful person shows up. Lord, I love you. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, God loves. I just declare in Jesus' name, whatever's been trying to beat you up, God's taken out tonight. Depression, anxiety, fear, discouragement, it's all leaving in Jesus' name. In fact, if you say, Pastor, I've been wrestling with some discouragement or depression, anxiety, would you just raise your hand wherever you are? I'm just going to pray a prayer. Jesus Christ healed me from that stronghold. I know there's like 55 or 60 of you. So just raise your hand wherever you are and just keep it up for a minute, because we're your family and we're going to pray with you and stand with you and believe with you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Now, hey, if someone has their hand raised, would you help me pray for them, please? Father, we pray for these, your precious children. And we declare tonight is a breakthrough night. God, I bind the lies of the enemy. We declare freedom and healing, life and peace, hope and love to their souls, their minds. In Jesus' name, thank you, God, for replenishing their hope supply. Thank you, God, for healing their dream machine. Thank you, God, that they're going to dream again. Are you two lovely people together? Yeah, you're together. She's just in the way, right? Okay, I'm sorry. No, she's not in the way. She's important. It'll cause family trouble here. I just want to say this for both of you. You guys have had amazing strength, stability, and dependability in a tough time. And this storm's ending. This storm's ending. And you've done nothing, sir. You have a great heart. You have an open heart. You have a tender heart. And the devil has just been trying to hurt you by hurting other people in the family and by affecting business. And everything's changing. I declare in Jesus' name that this storm that took so much is leaving. So I saw it begin 6 years ago or become intense and just not relent. So God, I thank you. You're unleashing heaven on the behalf of these, your precious children, and you're fighting for them. And they're going to see so many good things happen. That you've always had a great sense of humor, sir. You're getting your laugh back. Your laugh's going to make the whole family happy. And because that's who you really are. You just have a great heart and a great spirit. And that's all coming back in Jesus' name. So, God, I thank you. There's legacy on you, sir. There's faith. There's important unfinished business in your story. And I declare nothing's going to stop it. The season of grief ends. And the season of hope and joy is here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Keep praying. If you had your hand raised, just keep it up so I can see you. Earlier, if that was you. So I want to make sure the Lord is, what's your name?
Georgia May.
That's like an American name. Yeah, we met Brooklyn earlier. I'm getting all these. Georgia, Brooklyn. So Georgia May, you're a miracle woman. The devil didn't try to just hurt you. He tried to kill you. So your life, your physical life, your emotional life, your journey is a miracle. And you're anointed to set bound hearts free. And you've come so far. God couldn't be more proud of you. You're the real thing. And your passion for God, your zeal for God, your love for God, and your obedience to God is all up there. Just A pluses. Nothing's amiss. And part of what you've carried is, so there's family stuff you've carried that God's taking off. He's just lifting it off of you so you can be unencumbered by other generations or even active scenarios. In fact, I saw two miracles. I declare from this place, God, there's miracles for your family. And one of them, I just saw a man running so far from God. God's going to get that man and do a miracle. And God, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. There is a, in your physical body, a miracle's happening. And so any predisposition to any kind of condition or outcome, the Lord's rebuked. And so I declare life and strength and joy and longevity over you, all kinds of things that God would do. Now, there was a great loss, financial loss. So the enemy kind of plundered your family. God's anointed you to get it back. So God, I thank you that there's going to be recovery. That has to do with a property and even a business. But you have, God, big things in mind concerning the future and concerning the outcome. So God, thank you for it. For Georgia May, in Jesus' name. Come on. Who else had their hand raised? Yeah. Anybody else have their hand raised? Yeah. So are you guys a family? Yeah. What's your names?
Steve and Robin.
Yeah. Lord, thank you for Steve and Robin. Thank you for love for them and your hand upon their lives. Thank you, God, for who they are to you and what you've done and continue to do. And so, Steve, God's anointed you to fight. He's anointed you to win. He's anointed you to retrieve. He's anointed you to see restoration come. Your life story is a threat to the devil's intention against your side of the family, against, in fact, both of your families and a broad group of people. The devil can't believe he lost you. You're a testimony of God's faithfulness and love and grace. But this hard season's ending, and a new season's beginning. So this has been intense, sometimes unbelievably intense, all the way from, I saw you standing over a grave, all the way from death to devastation to loss to people taking advantage, all kinds of things. I declare a new day comes, a breakthrough comes, and a retrieval of purpose, a retrieval of God's plan, a retrieval of everything God intended to happen in Jesus' name. God's not done. And one of the things, Steve, is this. You're going to feel, so we can go through things. When I was 37, I felt like I was 97. So I've been through like so much, I felt emptied out. So you're going to start feeling youthful again. Because you've always had a youthful nature. This thing's just worn you out. God, I thank you for strength and grace for a new, renewed visitation, impartation of life. And so physical pain's leaving your body. All kinds of good things are happening for you and your family, your lives together in Jesus' name. Amen. Who else had their hand raised? Everybody now? Okay, yeah. All right, so what's your name?
Steve.
Have you met him? His name is Steve. Yeah. Are you Mrs. Steve? Yeah, okay. Lord, thank you for this lovely family. Thank you for your hand upon their lives. Thank you for your faithfulness in their story, their journey. And, when people live for God, you guys, you're just lovely people. When you live for God for years and decades, for long periods of time, there is so much significance in heaven for you, because it's the majority of your life. It's your life story. It's been around Jesus. And I just want to say this, sir. You've made a bigger imprint than you know. Your life is more influential than you weigh it or you evaluate it. And the devil is just a liar. The devil's a liar. And you've not missed this or missed that, but the Lord's just proud of the way you've been consistent. You've gone on with God. And I just declare into your whole world now, I saw the Lord say this, that there is something in your body God's stopping. And God's part of the discouragement you feel is the advance of this disease. I command it to stop. I rebuke it now in the name of Jesus. And I declare life into your blood, your body, your nerves, your bones, your muscles, your cells, and healing in Jesus' mighty name. I declare you will walk and not grow weary, run and not faint. In the name of Jesus, God, thank you for your hand upon this champion. In the mighty name of Jesus, there's, listen, you're an angel, sister. You're wonderful, both of you, are just lovely people. And God is, I saw, it was like a prayer book. And God started going through the pages. You're going to have a season of prayers being answered dozens at a time, I mean, across the whole family. So great faith will be in every member of your family. The one who has a temperament like you, the one who looked like your child pictures, great faith will be in her, all of your family members, in Jesus' name. God, thank you for what you're doing in that beautiful family. Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Yeah. I go to the pastor, gives me that thing. He told me around 11:30. Who else had their hand raised? Hi, what's your name?
Maria.
So, Lord, thank you for your love for Miss Maria. Thank you for your hand upon her life. And thank you, God, for her story, her faith, her heart, her genuineness with you. And, God, I just declare it's freedom time. It's victory time. It's turnaround time. It's breakthrough time. So Maria, just going back, you're still very young. But I saw from 11 to 14, unusual intensities, unusual difficulties, and even some traumas come into your family and your world. The Lord is emptying your heart from childhood trauma, because some of the weight you're carrying is not even stuff that's going on now. It's stuff that went on then. And God loves you so much. He's restoring the years to you. What was taken, childhood joy was taken from you because of adult responsibilities and then irresponsible adults. Very tough things. I declare over you, Jesus heals your heart, Marie. He healed me. He's healing you. He's liberating you. And he's restoring your youthfulness. He's restoring your joy. He's restoring your soul, your heart. He can do those things. And no more, I bind nightmares, night terrors, or reflective thoughts that keep coming. They're like, they pull you under. So if you've ever gone swimming and that sibling that kept pulling you under, these thoughts just pull you under. And I bind these thoughts from pull you under. And I declare that peace governs you, protects you, guards you, and keeps your soul safe. And God, thank you for a lavish season of outrageous love for Maria, that she's going to know your love. She knows it, but she's going to know a deeper measure of it than she's ever had before. God's loving you out of this thing. It doesn't matter who's not loved you, who's broken covenants of love with you. God is going to love you through this thing, and you're going to be an important voice, an important witness, and an irrefutable testament of what God can do. Yeah, God's up to the pattern, the curse of brokenhearted women is being broken in your family. You're the one breaking it. God, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Who else had their hand raised? Let me get to, you had your hand raised from before? Yeah, so let me pray for a couple of you. Hi. Hey, what's your name?
Shelly.
Lord, thank you for your love for Miss Shelly, who's so important to you and so significant to everyone that knows her and loves her. And God, thank you for, so a couple things, Miss Shelly. So God likes the uniqueness of your life. God likes the distinction. And it's almost like an eclectic thought processes and sense of humor. God made you that way. And God thinks that's cool and amazing. The devil's tried to shut down every kind of creative thought or dreaming capacity and just shut you down with pain. And we just declare tonight, you're breaking out. You're breaking out of that prison of sadness, sorrow, depression, and hopelessness. He's going to do it for you. Now, I thank you, God. So in your family, there's been absolute spiritual warfare, and the spiritual warfare has been had a demonic origin. I bind the devil's assault against you. I bind the weapons sent that were just like curses almost that rose up against you and rallied against you. And I just stop it all. God, I thank you. Your great love for her is making a difference in Jesus' name. Every person addicted in her family is set free. Every person suffering with a mental infirmity, I declare a miracle in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you're able to and you're going to. Now fill your daughter with so much joy, she can't help but giggle even at inappropriate times. Just fill her with so much joy, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, how you doing? What's your name? Tim.
Jude.
Jude? Hey, stretch your hand toward Brother Tim and Miss Jude. God, thank you for this lovely family. Thank you for hand upon their lives. Thank you for their story, their journey. Thank you, God, for... I saw this cool vision, Tim. I saw a group of hikers, and the terrain kept getting steeper and steeper. And it was a large group, and then it started dwindling down till there just was a few, and you were one of the few. The Lord's proud of you that you've kept enduring even when the hike got intense, that you've been remarkably consistent, faithful, reliable, and trustworthy even when the climb was exhausting and hurtful. And so you've overcome so much, and God couldn't be more proud of you for just you and your wife both tremendous endurance and faithfulness. And so I just declare over you that there's a... great scripture in Ecclesiastes 7, and it says, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. And so it's like a book where the good stuff's in the last chapters. And I declare that this is the sweetest season of your lives, where God is opening up chapters filled with redemptive healing, all kinds of family, repaired dynamics in family, restored destiny, and great joy. God, I thank you that this is a sweet season. Like they said at the wedding of Cana, you've saved the best wine for last. God, I thank you that this season is so rich for this precious family, Lord, that you purposely, in the story of their life, you purposely reserved this season to just make it great. So, Lord, thank you for doing amazing things in every aspect of it. They're going to feel it, and then they're going to see it. And so part of it is you're going to feel a change, but then you're going to see a change. You're going to actually see a change. So if you go back in time, one of them was like 29 years, and one of them was like 17 years ago. When it came to interactions with people or properties or business partners or activities, God is redeeming things that were supposed to happen that didn't have a full measure of completion in your story. So God, I thank you that you're making things even from the 3 decades ago. You're redeeming what they were supposed to be, and that means things are going to show up. Things are going to show up. So God bless them in Jesus' name. Good report from the doctor, sister. Dude, I declare life, strength, renewed function in every part of your body. I saw the doctor say, shaking his head, well, I can't believe things are getting better. So God, thank you for a complete physical renewal in your daughter, in Jesus' name, amen. And last thing is, Steve, so any little Steves in your family, I declare over every man in your world a breakthrough in Jesus' name. That God's going to do it. God's going to do it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who else with their hand raised earlier? Thank you, Jesus. In fact, let's just all raise our hands. So worship the Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you. Come on, just give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. It's like a, are you guys together? What's your names?
Kelly.
And Shermaine. Shermaine. Charmaine. Sorry. Kelly and Charmaine. Lord, thank you for this awesome family. Thank you, God, for their story. Thank you, God, for their... So, Mr. Kelly, so it's amazing. So you just get stuff done. You build it. You push it through. You make... You bring out the best of people. You motivate people to be highly productive, etc. So you just have this track record like a coach that could maximize talent. And it's just amazing. It's more than one place, like three different places, three different either vocations or expressions of vocation. Just way to go. Like a trophy room filled with things that have happened. This is kingdom time. And this is God not letting you down. And there is champions in your bloodline. I declare all of your children will serve God, fulfill purpose, and manifest destiny in Jesus' name. Not one of them lost, not one of them wandering, because they carry your DNA, you and her. There's something strong in them, and the devil's afraid of what that means. But God's reclaiming it. God's redirecting, he's realigning it. And so it's family breakthrough time. So God, thank you that these champions will be 1, 2, 3, great in earth, great in life, great in destiny, and great in your kingdom. And whatever's stopping that, God, you're rebuking, you're removing, and you're stopping it. So God, thank you in Jesus' name for all kinds of breakthroughs. In Jesus' name, God's, you look very healthy. God's touching your body also, sir. And I declare life and strength over you. Pain leaves and healing flows in Jesus' name. So it always makes me giggle when I see couples that are opposite. Because I promise you, my wife is my opposite. So just it makes marriage fun and non-boring. But you, Sister God's very proud of you. So you can tell when things are wrong. You tell, so you know them that well. You know how to approach them. You're godly. You're very intelligent, and you're deeply discerning. And so you've created some prayer strategies, just tremendous. God is nothing but approval, satisfaction, and gratitude toward you. And whoever has criticized you, and I saw the reason, just a lie. Whoever's criticized you has not spoken for Christ. So just way to go. God cares about you. Now, there are religious people in your side of the family that God's going to bring into the kingdom. Let's say it like that. It's coming out of the limitations of past religious atmospheres. God, revival comes to her family. Revival comes to people she loves, the ones she grew up with and the ones that were related. I thank you for revival. A genuine visitation comes in the name of Jesus. Now, something about an inheritance is coming or just recently come. So God's up to some good things that are going to signify breakthrough seasons. So God, thank you for everything you have for these amazing people. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Let's do it like this. If you need a physical healing in your body, would you stand up wherever you are? You're believing God to touch you physically. I was in Los Angeles, Pastor Allen, a couple weeks ago, well, a couple of months ago now, or January. And a great church called Higher Vision. And this maybe 18-year-old girl came around and hugged me and says, remember me? I says, I don't think so. And 2 years before then, I had been in a service like this, and maybe like a Sunday night service, and I stopped preaching, put down my mic, and walked to the back. There was a little girl in a wheelchair, maybe a 15-year-old girl, and on oxygen, looked like she weighed 60 pounds. So come to find out, they brought her from the hospital. She had less than a week to live. I felt so much compassion. It just disrupted everything. I walked down there and just held her for like 5 minutes. I didn't care there was 1,000 people waiting. I just said, just sing something. And I just held her. I didn't ask her what was wrong. I could feel God touching her. I could feel love pouring into her. And come to find out, that she was expected to die that week or the next week in her parents' last resort. Flew her to that meeting. And so Come to find out, that was the 18-year-old girl, 130 pounds. Don't you remember me? No. She was a different person. There's no person here tonight that Jesus can't make you a different person. There's no battle you're in he doesn't care about. There's nothing. He heals all our diseases. 20 years ago this year, I was on vacation with my family in California and became sick. And I'm at the hospital and I'm being treated by a specialist. He said to me, "You're dying. You have this stage 4 of this cancer, and it has a 97% mortality rate, maybe 99, whatever it was." So I could barely talk. I leaned, he's going through all the things, and I leaned across his desk and I said, "I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." It stupefied him. He's like, "What? What'd you say?" I said, it's Psalm 118, verse 17. I said, "I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." So I had cancer, came back home. Yeah, this stage 4 cancer. They wanted treatment. 6 months, fast forward, 6 months later, no cancer. 20 years later, no cancer. Now, here's my point. I don't know what your thing is. I just know the answer. I know the great physician. So I'm going to ask the folks sitting down, would you help me pray for our dear family, our brothers and sisters? Just if you're close enough, just touch him and stretch your hands toward him. Father, we declare life and healing to our friends now, our brothers, our sisters, in the name of Jesus. Complete healing, complete restoration. Thank you, God. This heart is strong. The system's strong. Head to foot. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Come on, keep praying. You're doing good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pastor David, I saw this funny thing. You were at, 20 years now. You were talking it was either a Bible college or a group of pastors. And you were telling your testimony, and you said, "You know, I kept proving the doctors wrong. My faith kept changing my facts. And I declare over you with long life, sir, God will satisfy you, and that no weapon, stated form, genetic or otherwise, can flourish." Come on, keep praying. Everybody doing good? God, touch every life here in the name of Jesus. We speak the name of Jesus. We speak the healing name. We speak the delivering name. We speak the powerful name of Jesus. We speak life and healing. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your grace, your healing, your strength, your love, your care for these, your precious sons and your precious daughters. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for it. Thank you, Lord. Let all pain go. Father, I pray that pain just leaves this room, that every person in pain feels it actually drain from their body in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak to organs. I speak restored function. I speak to nerves. I speak inflammation to go down. I speak to bones and muscles to be healed. Thank you, God, for healing them wherever the pain, the injury, or the disease is. I saw 4 people with a stomach or digestive issue healed. If that's you, wave your hand at me. Something in your digestive tract or your stomach. Yeah, so I declare, they're all right here in this section. God, heal them all in Jesus' name. We declare full healing, restored function to the small intestines, the little intestines, the whole body, every part of their digestive system, we declare life and healing to. And God, we thank you for it. Come on, you're doing so good. Keep praying. Thank you, God, for healing. Thank you, Jesus, for healing. Thank you, Jesus, for this miracle man. Thank you, God, for your love and care for him. Thank you, God, for strength. Thank you, God. I saw the Lord, you know, David said, "God knows my thoughts." And I saw the Lord, he was having a conversation with you in your thought life. It was quite beautiful. God, thank you for your love for this, your your champion. We bless him and declare life to him in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God, for healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're doing great, everybody. Just keep just a little bit longer. Thank you, God, for touching these lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Each one a treasure. Each one in covenant with you. Each one touched in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Just the last couple of things. I saw there's a family here, a person here. You've had within like 4 years, three funerals, and they were two of them were really condensed together. There was a lot of death that hit your family all at once. Just wave your hand if that's you, because we're just I just feel like I'm supposed to prophesy. It stops. Okay. So Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. I rebuke premature death. I rebuke the curse that causes it. I rebuke the biological root, the spiritual genesis. I rebuke it in Jesus' name and declare healing and freedom in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, everyone, just lift your hands to heaven. Let's just worship the Lord. I'm kind of wrapping up, but I just want to make sure God's done. God, thank you for your care, your love, your grace, your faithfulness to us. I met a young woman that was pastor's daughter earlier. Crystal? Kirsten. Who's? Yeah. She won't admit it. Okay, I'm just kidding. Hello. Now, you have a husband too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Right there. So, can you both come on here? Let me pray for you. So, there's a strong leadership calling on your lives. And the Lord just wants you to know he's so proud of you that you're doing it right. You're doing life right. You're doing family right. Even decisions, moving or whatever you've done really things honorably, righteously, good. And you're just in a really good place, but things are about to leap forward. And there is really a stirring from God, an awakening from God, and a fulfillment coming from God into your lives, your family, and your destiny. And so, young man, it's amazing, like a whole shelf filled with trophies. You accomplish things. You do them well. You did it in sports. You do it in life. Do it in business. Do it in family. So you have a discipline for excellence. And you're going to have a track record your whole life of doing it in business, in life, in a church, and in ministry, some other stuff too. So it's just amazing. Your voice is going to help guide a confused generation. So there's a steadiness in you. There's kind of you're just so young, but you have a father heart to help people. And you're going to help young men that feel lost and don't know where they are, what to do. Like a coach, you're going to coach them into life success. And really, they'll never forget you. They'll never, even if it's just a year, they'll never forget your impact on their life. And God's just super proud of you. You don't have to be like anybody but Jesus and the unique expression that God made you to be. So there's both godliness in your family, and then I saw, it must be a sibling, I saw someone wandering from God. So God's going to heal in your family, the one that needs to come home. It's going to be a great thing. Your life is creating momentum for good things to happen. I loosen a miracle home to you, a physical home to you, a miracle. And sister, so there's so much in you. I joked about it, that the PK, it's already heard every sermon. But you have great insight. It's not that it's just you know things, you have insight into deeper meanings and deeper understandings and principles that are survivable. There's a treasury of Jesus in you. And when people get to know you, they're always astonished. Your wisdom is way beyond your years, and your insight. So you're still fun, and you're still this great sense of humor, just goofing around. But man, when you get on target, it's like hitting the bullseye. It's amazing what God does. And so I don't know. You guys have children yet? Yeah. So Lord, I thank you for this. This baby means so much. It's going to help your whole family. It's going to help your whole family. And it's doing something in one of your brothers for really good. So God's really proud of you, sister. God's really proud of you. And God, I thank you that the birth of this baby signifies the birth of a season for this family of so much significance and so much importance and so much fulfillment. Make it so sweet and perfect, God, in every way. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. And last thing is this. Your whole life, sister, whenever you talk to young people or children, they're going to lean into you. And because you're fun, you're engaging, you tell things great, but also so much sincerity. And no matter how that plays out, no matter what, expression of life, from your own children to teaching, whatever it is, you're going to make a difference in a generation by the sound of your voice and what's in your heart. The goldenness of your heart is going to affect them. Lord, bless this beautiful family and their baby. In Jesus' name, amen. Babies. Grandbabies. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it's been such an honor to be with you guys tonight. God bless you.